You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up Monday at 7 on The Morning Show, Kate Archer-Kent talks to state legislative leaders from both parties about proposals to deal with COVID-19 and its economic impact on Wisconsin. That's Monday morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network. Now it's Food Friday. For many Midwestern families, casseroles hold a special place in our hearts and kitchens. Not always the most glamorous of foods, it's an easy, efficient way to feed a lot of people, or just a few people, and have some leftovers. And it's warm, gooey comfort food, especially in the wintertime. Wisconsin comedian Charlie Behrens tackled a casserole-related issue early last year.
Today we're making a dish that some of yous will call hot dish and some of yous will call casserole. But all yous will argue over which one is right and which one's a Vikings fan. Now me, I'm one of 12 kids, okay? I was mass-produced. So I grew up eating casseroles all the time. Every night was like one of them potlucks in the church basement.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have casseroles been a big part of your life as a child or last week? Do you have a casserole that reminds you of home? Do you try to revamp some classic Wisconsin casserole recipes? What is your go-to? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Megan Hill is the executive chef and head of the Culinary Hill Test Kitchen, a website for modern home cooking with a Midwestern heart. Megan was born and raised in Wisconsin. Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Well, you've got a big casserole selection on your website. Were casseroles part of your dinner table growing up?
Absolutely. I think my mom made them at least once a week.
Do you have a favorite one from childhood memory?
So from childhood memories, my favorite one would be tuna casserole. So it's egg noodles, creamy sauce. My mom always put cheese on it too. And then obviously tuna and peas.
And now I think we think of casseroles as this, you know, humble Midwestern thing. Looking at your website, I'm reminded a lot of different things fit the bill. I know chilaquiles I make an inauthentic version of at home. That's like a Mexican casserole, right? Like there's a lot of casseroles around the world, not just the stuff we think of here in the Midwest.
That's exactly right. And it doesn't always have to be noodle-based like most of the ones I grew up with. Sometimes they have tater tots or potatoes and rice. There's all different ways you can make them.
Your website, as I mentioned, you focus on modern home cooking with a Midwestern heart. What kind of things do you do when you take a look at a classic Midwestern recipe and try to, you know, put a new spin on it or freshen it up for the 21st century?
So I do not consider myself a food snob, so I would never shun certain ingredients like Velveeta cheese. And I don't necessarily have a problem with canned goods. Like if you think of cream of mushroom soup, I don't personally use it because I think making it from scratch tastes better. But I will use Cool Whip when it applies, not in a casserole. But when we revamp recipes for a modern home cook, we're really leading with the compass of what tastes the best. And then just keeping in mind that people have a lot more access to ingredients than they used to. You know, I remember when I was in high school, I had to go to a specialty grocery store to find something like mirin, which is an Asian ingredient. And now Target, Walmart, and every grocery store has it. So there's a lot more access than we used to have.
Now, before we get to some specific casserole recipes, I want to talk about your website a little bit. I don't usually do this, but I really like when you've got a recipe, you know, you don't have a 10-chapter biography leading up to it. You say a few lines about it. You get into it. You show pictures. And then there's this print-friendly thing. And I'm like, I'm going to be cooking stuff from here. What were you trying to accomplish with the website? Because it seems Rob-friendly anyway, user-friendly in general.
Streamlined. So we're trying to make the best possible user experience. Sometimes there's a little bit of story in the beginning, but not much. I know people don't want that. Obviously, the internet is full of memes of people that hate food bloggers because we all talk about the summer that we were in Italy and learned how to make this dish. And nobody wants to hear that. So I only add context when I think it's really important. But otherwise, it's really what do you need to know? What are the straight facts and get you to the recipe? And there is a jump to recipe button at the top if you want to skip the process shots and our information, you can go straight to the card. I think you can even print from the recipe title. So it's really about getting people what they want. So thank you for noticing.
It's Food Friday. We're talking about casseroles with Megan Hill, executive chef for the Culinary Hill Test Kitchen. She has shared a few recipes with us. You could share your casserole memories distant or recent, and your favorites, or maybe a question at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Now, we've got a few recipes that Megan shared with us. We've got these up at WPR.org/Food Friday. And the first one, hey, there it is from your childhood, Megan, the tuna noodle casserole. Now, in this one, you say you can use the can of soup, but you've got your own cream sauce. What goes into that?
So it's usually like a roux, you know, flour, butter, some kind of fat. And then this one, you know, might be different than other ones, but you can use milk or cream. So it's just something to make that creamy sauce. And I think the most important thing about that is you need to taste it before you build your casserole, because if your sauce is not seasoned properly, you know, if you like hot sauce, put it in then before you add the noodles and bake it. The saddest thing that I could think is that somebody might have a bland casserole. So when you make that sauce, that's your chance to make it your own. So I just encourage people to do that. So in my case, this one's using heavy cream, but you can, you know, you can try it with milk if you feel comfortable, but just make sure that you use enough salt and pepper and whatever else you think would make it taste good. If it's in the pot and you taste it and it tastes delicious, then you know you're on track.
And you've got a little crunch on this one, as casseroles often do. What do you do to make the tuna noodle casserole crunch a bit?
So I love Ritz crackers as a crunch. You can also use cornflakes, are so good. You can make breadcrumbs, but I think Ritz crackers are really nice, because they just have that nice buttery flavor, and it's pure nostalgia for me. So my mom always made a vegetable casserole for Thanksgiving every year. Well, she still does. And it has Ritz crackers. So it's just, for me, it's, I have to do it. It's a go-to.
And a lot of your recipes, most of your recipes, I think, have some variations at the end, so you can try different things. What kind of things might we do with this recipe? Maybe even subbing in something else for the tuna. How can we mix this one up a little?
So this is a great, what you could use this base casserole and use your leftover chicken. If you buy one of those rotisserie chickens and you have some left, use it here. If it's, you know, if we just finished Thanksgiving and you have some leftover turkey, this is perfect for that. So you could also just add more vegetables and leave the meat out if that's your kind of thing. So there's a lot of options.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Eric on the line in Lake Tomahawk. Eric, hi.
Well, hi there. I just thought I'd mention my experience with casseroles and chicken soup. A good Catholic family, 8 kids. I was the second oldest, and I was 27 years old before I found out that tuna casserole had tuna in it, and chicken soup, I don't know, had chicken. I was fascinated. So that's my comment.
Well, hold on, Eric. What were you thinking was going on here when they said it was tuna casserole?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of a name.
I love it. Now, is this something, do you still like tuna casserole now, Eric, since you made your, since you got the big reveal and found out what was in it?
Well, when I started making it with tuna, I liked it a whole lot better.
Okay. Eric, thanks a lot for sharing that. Yeah, sometimes that's, you know, with a casserole, it's just casserole. And maybe as kids, we don't think about what's actually in it. I don't know. What do you think, Megan?
I could totally see that happening. I do think it's interesting that, like, mine even has chicken broth in it, and it's really adding that meaty flavor that people want. So tuna on its own might not make the sauce be super savory and rich. So I think chicken broth adds there. But yes, I mean, my mom made something that she called conglomeration, which was just sort of a catch-all for it. I mean, most of the time it was ground beef or ground venison, and then sometimes it was cream of celery based, and sometimes it was tomato sauce based. It always had a noodle, and it always had cheese, and we called it conglomeration, and I still love it. It's amazing.
Can we do casseroles like I think of soup? Like, soup for me is like, how do I use up these little bits of things that on their own aren't going to make up a meal? Can we approach our casseroles like that, like clear the fridge?
Yes.
Efforts?
Like a kitchen sink casserole. I mean, absolutely. That's the great thing is, you know, you can look at, okay, how much meat is in a recipe, how much, you know, vegetable is in a recipe, and you just, you know, and in this case, in the case of tuna casserole, I have some mushrooms and some peas, but if you don't like those and you don't have them, you can use whatever you want. I mean, I would think something like carrots, for example, you would probably want to cook those down a little because they might not, you know, be soft enough in the final dish. So you just have to think about that. But otherwise, yes, clean out the crisper and make the casserole of your dreams, definitely.
We got an email from Grant who says, I love soubise, and that's S-O-U-B-I-S-E, a savory baked casserole using loads of caramelized onions plus rice and cheese. Truly addictive. Grant says Marion Cunningham has a great one she calls first prize onion casserole. So do you do some caramelized onion casserole action, Megan?
I have never done that. It sounds like something that I need to get into. I wonder if it's more like a thickened version of French onion soup. I'm for sure going to look into onion casseroles. I've never had that. It sounds perfect.
I'd never heard of it. So thank you, Grant, for opening my mind there. We are talking with Megan Hill on this week's edition of Food Friday. Megan's executive chef and head of the Culinary Hill Test Kitchen. It's a website for modern home cooking with a Midwestern heart. We are talking about casseroles. You can find her website, culinaryhill.com. We've got a few recipes up from her at wpr.org/foodfriday. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a casserole memory to share? Do you have a family favorite from last week or from 20 years ago? Are you pro casserole? Are they what you served a company or a big family? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the Food Friday conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our Food Friday talk with Megan Hill, executive chef and head of the Culinary Hill Test Kitchen. She is from Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We are talking about casseroles. Do you have a favorite to make now? Do you have a favorite casserole memory maybe from your childhood? Or do you have a question for our guest? 800-642-1234 is a number. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Rick is with us in Cambridge. Rick, hi.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. And good afternoon to your host, your guest, rather. I had a question for you. I was originally from New England, so with my growing up, casseroles were king, of course. I mean, that's what everything was with casserole. And I've lived in Wisconsin now for over 40 years. And out here, as far as I can tell, everything is a hot dish, not a casserole. Do you think there's a difference between those two, or is that specific to the Midwest, Wisconsin?
Rick, thanks for that call. We heard Charlie Barron's raising that question earlier. Megan, hot dish versus casserole. Is there a dividing line?
Okay, so I actually was having this conversation with a friend 2 days ago. We were trying to figure it out. She lives in Iowa. It's my understanding that hot dish is a Minnesota thing and casserole is a Wisconsin thing, but maybe my division line is wrong based on your caller. He's in Wisconsin and he hears the term hot dish. So is there anyone out there that can settle this for us? Because it might be keeping people up at night.
We might need our research team at Wisconsin to check that out. I don't know. I hear hot dish in Wisconsin, but not everywhere. 800-642-1234. If you feel you have a definitive answer to that question or just some casserole thoughts of your own, we'll go to Justin now in Verona. Justin, hi.
Hey, good afternoon.
What'd you want to bring up, Justin?
Yeah, sorry, I can't help you on the hot dish versus casserole aspect, but I do have a sauerkraut kielbasa casserole that my mom passed my recipe to me. Very simple, very tasty, very easy. It's only got four ingredients. You know, you got sauerkraut on the bottom, drained. I like Bavarian style. I kind of like the sweetness to it. And then you got a layer of ring sausage or, you know, kielbasa, something like that. And then you do a layer of like cream of mushroom or cream of chicken, cream of onion would work. And then you put French fries on top, and then that's it. You just bake it.
Wow. Okay. And this is good. This is good stuff. I've never had this before. I love kielbasa and sauerkraut and fries.
Yeah. And then you add in, you know, the meat, obviously, and you get the crunch and saltiness from the French fries on top. Like, it's fantastic.
Justin, thanks a lot. Kielbasa, Megan, as the heart of a casserole. Have you heard of that that particular
yes.
combination?
So I've definitely heard of sauerkraut casserole. So with the interesting thing here for me that gets me so excited is the cream of soup with the French fries. I feel like this is sort of a twist on poutine. Am I overreaching here? I don't know. That's just what I envisioned in my head.
Interesting.
But it's
thanks
in the wrong
a lot.
Order. It's in the wrong order, but upside down sauerkraut poutine.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. That sounds pretty good. Hey, let's check out another one that you shared with us, Megan. We've got it up at WPR.org/Food Friday. This one you have to be a little more premeditated about, an overnight breakfast casserole. Tell us about this guy.
So this one is from my best friend who lives in Minnesota from her mother. She gave this to me and I was so excited about it when I tried it the first time. So it's basically layers of bread with ham and cheese and some spices in between. You cover the whole thing. And I think it's like 10 eggs mixed with milk. You let it sit overnight. The bread softens. And then right before you bake it, you add a buttery cornflake topping. And I used to host a lot of brunches and I'd have parties just so I could make this. It's one of my most favorite recipes. It is absolutely delicious.
And you could vary this depending on the bread you use. You could switch up different breakfast meats. I could see this going a lot of different ways.
Yes, that's what I love about casseroles is there's so much flexibility. And if you're just like, I don't like ham, then put in something else that you do like. You could make so many versions and it's delicious.
Thanks a lot for that call. It's Food Friday. We're talking about casserole with Megan Hill, originally from Wisconsin, executive chef and head of the Culinary Hill Test Kitchen. Got some recipes from Megan at WPR.org/Food Friday. Ben joins us next in West Salem. Ben, hi.
Hey, we're just listening, me and a couple friends that are cooks, chefs, whatever you want to call it. But we live in the Mississippi River Valley region, so we're on the we're Wisconsinites, but you get a lot of Minnesota, Wisconsin crossing back and forth for jobs, families. And honestly, it really doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. It really depends on how you use the word. Like our parents will say, well, we're having a casserole if we're at home. But let's say you're going to a potluck or church or something. You'd say, we're taking a hot dish to pass, or you're going over to a friend's house for a Packer game, and you know, so they can beat the Vikings. You're going to say, bring a hot dish to pass, you know, and it really is so relative, and that's kind of how we see it. It just matters how you use the word and where you're maybe going, but the food, you might call your tater tot casserole a hot dish to pass, depending on what you're doing, you know?
Interesting, Ben. Thanks a lot. It's not the dish. It's, I guess, where you're serving it, Megan.
I love this. I love that these people are as invested in this conversation as I am. Thank you so much. I think that makes a lot of sense. I know ultimately it's the same thing. I know that it's like those two terms are used interchangeably. And I think it makes sense that maybe you refer to one when you're taking it and one when you're eating it at home. I think that's brilliant.
And that's thanks for that call. That speaks to the portability of the hot dish or casserole. Like, it's an easy thing to pre-make, and as long as there's going to be oven space where you're going to reheat and serve. So it's a food that travels well, right?
I would agree. And I think if you can take a little bit of a risk and practice a little bit, it could also be very slow cooker friendly, because think about, you know, if you have your noodles that are cooked and you have this sauce, if you have enough time to heat it up at your destination, it could also work really well that way.
Let's go back to our callers. Kathy is with us in Baldwin. Kathy, hello.
Hi. I wonder if it's a heritage thing. Our Lutheran church cookbook, and it's mostly old German heritage, is full of hot dish. There's not a casserole in it.
But if you served these things to me, Kathy, and I didn't know what you called them, I might call them a casserole?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just how you were raised, and I wonder if it's heritage.
Interesting. I think that could be, you might be onto something there, Kathy. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate that. Megan, I want to, before we run out of time, check out your chicken spaghetti casserole, again with a homemade mushroom sauce.
Yeah, so this is sort of along the same lines as the tuna noodle one. You have noodles, and of course you could vary. If you don't want to use spaghetti, you could use something else, but there's chicken. So you can either cook it on the spot, or you can use your leftover chicken. And then again, just make sure that you season your sauce. Otherwise, you're going to have a bad time. So yeah, this one's really fun. I love it.
Cool. Now, casseroles, you know, I think we think of them as heavy, maybe not the most health-oriented foods. Is there something such a thing as a health casserole, a light casserole?
So you can absolutely do that, but I think it misses the point. So unless there's some reason that you have to do that, I would say just save it for a special occasion. And maybe the special occasion is every Sunday. But, you know, of course you could use alternative milks and things like that. But I think it really gets away from what, you know, the joy that is casserole. So I don't really recommend it, but if you want to dabble in that.
We've had some people posting on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ryan weighed in on the hot dish versus casserole debate. He writes, my wife's family calls it hot dish. She's from Wisconsin. My family used to call it goulash. I'm from New York. I call it using up the leftovers. I love it. Now, goulash, I think of that as a specifically Hungarian thing. And I think you had a goulash in your casserole section on your website, right, Megan?
I do, but it is not the official Hungarian one. So this is sort of, sometimes I get angry comments on my site. The goulash on my site is closer to the conglomeration that my mom made when I was growing up. I think of it as a Midwestern goulash. It is not at all authentic. It is sort of like a chili mac, but with different spices. So I do have a goulash, but it is not the one you're thinking of. It is more generic and like specific to the Midwest.
And you write on a couple of your recipes, like you've got a Puerto Rican one, I think, that's inspired by Puerto Rico, but you're very clear up front. You're not shooting for an authentic recipe here.
I try to clear, if it's not authentic and I don't really know much about, you know, whatever it is, I try to just, you know, stay away from that or declare it up front. Yes.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun today.
Thank you so much, Rob. I had a blast.
Megan Hill is the executive chef and head of the Culinary Hill Test Kitchen, a website for modern cooking with a Midwestern heart. Megan was born and raised in Wisconsin. You can find 3 casserole recipes she shared with us today. They are at wpr.org/foodfriday.